Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Both guns should not be in public hands. They're just too big of guns.
Are your doors locked?
Yes, I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in the store?
Cannot have big guns out here. As far as these, the big guns that are out here, the semi-automatics and all, we can't have those running around out here.
I can't tell you that you can do that, but you do what you have to do to protect your baby.
Those are not hunting weapons.
Yes, sir. We're dispatching the police right now.
Okay. Melinda, I'm on the phone with 911. Is he in the house, Melinda? Are you sure? Melinda, if he opens that door, you shoot. You shoot him. You understand?
And you got, you know, a lot of millions and millions of gun owners out there who don't want to have their weapons or their magazines confiscated and may resist.
Yeah, well, you could say, well, confiscation could be an option, right?
Yeah.
Or should there be some mechanism to confiscate them from people who already purchased them legally?
So I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in the store?
We need to get them off the streets illegally, and even if you have them, I think we need to start taking them. We can't have those out there.
You do what you have to do to protect your baby.
Well, either that or we're going to have to buy them back or voluntarily come get them, or if we find them on the street, there's going to have to be some kind of penalty for them. We just don't need them out there.
All right, you stay in the attic, all right? He's in the bedroom. Okay, shh, shh, relax. Just remember everything that I showed you, everything that I taught you, all right? She's shooting him. She's shooting him.
Okay.
Shoot him again. Shoot him.
Before, right. I don't think.
Mandatory sale to the state could be an option.
That's a form of confiscation.
Right. Permitting could be an option.
Yeah.
So there are a number of options.
My wife is a hero. She protected her kids. She did what she was supposed to do as a responsible, prepared gun owner. Her life is saved, and our kids' lives are saved. And that's all I'd like to say.
The enemy is on the move. Their objective? Your freedom, your God-given liberties, Americanism, and the rich Judeo-Christian heritage that made America uniquely America. What you just heard were parts of 911 audio clips from just two of the thousands of examples of law-abiding American citizens using non-hunting firearms to defend their very lives. And alternately, you heard portions from two separate interviews with elected officials right here in America who've openly declared that they wish to ban certain firearms and accessories using draconian tactics to include illegal confiscations, forced surrender of our firearms, and or heavy penalties against law-abiding citizens who are exercising their God-given rights to be able to defend themselves. And did you catch that? These were excerpts from interviews with just two elected officials, because they're not the only ones who share the same anti-constitution sentiments. Elected officials who swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They're openly declaring that they're willing to violate the Constitution. And one of those interviews was New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and the other, Iowa State Representative Dan Muehlbauer. And we're going to talk about that more in depth tonight. Welcome, patriots, preppers, and redoubters listening across the American Redoubt, as well as our brothers and sisters outside the wire in occupied America. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, honored to be your host, and especially I'm honored to be counted as a fellow patriot with all of you. This is episode 1301, the first episode of 2013 at Radio Free Redoubt. And wow, so much has happened over the last 90 days.
It's been torturous for me to be away from the microphone. For those of you who are new to Radio Free Readout, we normally do a weekly podcast every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And at the first, but we just recently went through a strategic relocation here within the American Readout. But one of the barriers that we've had to contend with is the internet service, because we primarily broadcast on the internet. We upload that audio portion as a file. So it's a podcast that you can download and listen to. And those are all archived over there at the Podbean site. But what I usually do, or try to do, what I did last year, because we are, how old are we? Wow, we're almost 2 years old, coming up in, what, March, April? What I like to do as the first broadcast of the year, my goal is to reintroduce Radio Free Readout so that those of you who have not gone back and listened to the archive shows may be wondering what we're about. I like to take episode 01 of the year and say, you know, this is our mission. This is what we stand for. This is how we came to be. These are our goals and what we're trying to accomplish. What I'm going to do is move that out to our next episode. Now, because we are going through a lot of, we're still in that relocating process, and we're doing a lot of work to the new location, to include a studio, which is not operational at this time. But what we're doing is broadcasting every other week, or I'm trying to. And so I make those announcements. And it won't be long. It's just a matter of weeks before we are back onto our regular, normal, weekly schedule so we can maintain a consistent presence and an encouragement for all of you. And thank you for all of your encouragement for us as well. And I know a lot of you have been very patient and supportive with your prayers, with your emails of support. And that is so appreciated. And I'm getting it. I hear you guys. Everybody's saying, hey, do what you got to do. Take your time. It's all right. Just hurry up. And so that's not lost on me. I understand. And it's been agonizing for me to be away from the microphone. We're going to talk about several things tonight. We're going to talk about the Second Amendment because that is really forefront right now and front and center as far as a concern for patriots. We don't want to take our eyes off some of the other things that are happening as well, but this is a pretty critical time right now in our country, and things are accelerating. Right now is the time for patriots to be waking up, and they are waking up. I had the privilege, the honor, to attend a patriot group meeting on Saturday over in Bonner County, Idaho. Obviously, the gun control topic was brought up, but there's a lot of other topics that were brought up as well. They're very, very important issues that we need to be paying attention to. We're going to talk a little bit about that meeting tonight, how you can find your calling so you can get involved. And it's something that, well, this was a really unique meeting. And that's what I want to talk about. It wasn't a prepper meeting. It wasn't a Tea Party meeting. It wasn't an Oath Keeper meeting. It was a coalition of patriot forces. Those in attendance consisted of preppers, patriots, redoubters, homeschoolers, ham operators, as well as leaders and representatives from several organizations and networks, prepper networks, and so on. There were also a lot of individuals and families there. It was an amazing event in just a beautiful rural setting at an old schoolhouse. It's now a community center. Wood floors, wood-burning stove in the back. It was just, it's almost like Little House on the Prairie type of setting. It was just really, really a great time. But these meetings, these patriot coalition groups, it needs to be duplicated, and I'll explain why and how. And I want to put together an action plan to get it done. It's imperative to the survival of Americanism. The guys that put that together and that are providing that leadership on a ground floor, grassroots level, amazing guys. And I know there's more out there. And a lot of people have the same vision or the same, that tugging in your spirit. You know something needs to be done. Not quite sure how to bring all these patriots together. Well, these guys have a pretty good grasp on how to do that. And I'm going to be working with the leadership there that are putting this Patriot Coalition together, because it's very local. And we need to be able to duplicate that. And also we need to start putting these various different Patriot Coalitions in contact with one another. We're going to talk about the benefits of us, you know. Well, it would strengthen the American Redoubt. It would strengthen Americanism. And so, anyway, we'll get to that. But first, the news. Of course, news and commentary on some of the things that are going on around us in the world and in our country that could or maybe already are affecting you. Of course, the news and commentary is brought to you by CampingSurvival.com. They have everything you need for any kind of a situation, anytime, anywhere. Go check them out, CampingSurvival.com. Let's see here. There is so much. I'm going to just try to just blast through it because there is a lot to cover tonight, and we're probably going to go long, which I normally do by about 15 to 20 minutes. Might be considerably longer on this show because there's so much to cover and it's really important stuff. So hang in there with me. China's military is on high alert right now. This might be interesting. It's not getting a lot of press coverage, but Japan and China, arch rivals, are playing a little cat and mouse right now. China sends up a Y-8 aircraft, so two Japanese F-15 fighters are tailing it. So the Chinese sent up two J-10 fighters to tag the F-15 fighters and be tailing them. So interesting watching them flex their modern military muscle and how that could affect the United States. We'll see. Closer to home, Hobby Lobby stands its ground. Could Hobby Lobby be the first martyr under Obamacare? December 26 was a fitting day for Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor to refuse judicial relief to the Hobby Lobby craft store chain, whose Christian owners object to certain requirements of the Affordable Care Act, that's Obamacare. And on the calendar of Western Christianity, December 26th is St. Stephen's Day. Of course, that honors Christendom's first martyr. These guys are standing their ground. They say they are not going to provide health care coverage for abortion or preventative, like the morning after pills. And they're in violation of Obamacare. And they could face $1.3 million per day in fines. Of course, that would be the death knell for the company. But apparently that death knell would be more desirable to the company's owners than potentially funding the deaths of developing human beings. Now, that's standing by your convictions. That's not a belief to them. That's a conviction. A belief is something that you philosophically believe in. A conviction is when you're motivated to action. These guys have conviction. We need more patriots, more God-fearing, liberty-loving Americans with conviction. That's conviction. Those are the kind of people that came out of the same mold as the founding fathers who said, we're going to pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor on what we believe. We're going all the way with it. This is how strong we believe in this. Obama wants to unilaterally lift or raise the debt limit. And he's got support from some of his minions in the Senate. Majority Leader Harry Reid has reportedly told President Barack Obama that he would back the president overriding congressional authority and forming a dictatorship. Unilaterally raising the debt ceiling. And of course, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, the psycho from California, was in agreement. And she said she's made it very clear that she backs this. This is not the first time that we've seen threats of the president using so-called executive orders to enact legislation, essentially, outside of Congress. So they're talking about doing that based on, let's see, tomorrow Joe Biden is supposed to be making recommendations to Obama as far as gun control legislation. They've already basically tipped their hat and or their hand and said that they're exploring executive order. That's a dictatorship. When one man can dictate laws in a land, that's a dictatorship. Now, from the state that Obama was raised up in politically, Illinois, there was an urgent alert that was put out by the Illinois State Rifle Association warning that the Democratic legislators were trying to push through last-minute anti-gun legislation. It's a fact. It's been verified. This is happening. And this from Fox News covering this one. And the Illinois State Rifle Association, the people that are they're working with legislators, are reporting there would be no exemptions and no grandfathering. And they said that you would have a very short window to turn in your guns to the state police to avoid prosecution. Several redoubters sent this one in to me, and a couple of you from Illinois have stated that you're going to probably accelerate your plans to redoubt, to get to the American redoubt and get out of Illinois, especially if this passes. That I know for many of you, this is the final straw. And there's a lot of this going on, this anti-gun paranoia frenzy, which we're going to talk about here. Bank of America, for example, freezes gun manufacturer's account. The Bank of America allegedly froze the account of gun manufacturer American Spirit Arms, saying the company should not be selling guns on the internet. So far, the company's owner, Joe Sirachman, says that just one-third of the company's internet sales over a two-week period have been actually released to the company. And so, obviously, American Spirit Arms is looking for a new bank. And CNS News pointed out that this isn't the first time Bank of America has targeted a customer involved in the firearms industry. I remember this a while back when Macmillan Group International, they were reportedly told that its business was no longer welcome after the company started manufacturing firearms, even after 12 years of doing business with the bank. Now, I know it's hard to switch banks, especially if you've been with somebody for a long time, but you need to start getting your funds, your money out of their banks. Ideologically, they are opposed to our ideals that we hold and that we hold dear and that we value. But it's something that you need to do. You also need to start supporting banks that are local in the American Redoubt, and credit unions are a great way to do business. If you have a business, though, it's difficult. A lot of times credit unions don't want to deal with business accounts, but there are banks, there are local banks that you can get away from Bank of America. Iowa lawmaker, you guys already heard about this. Muehlbauer said that he wants to start taking the guns from the people in his state. He said, we cannot have big guns out there as far as big guns that are out there, whatever that means. He said that we can't have those running around out there. And of course, I agree. We don't want those guns running around out there. They should be firmly in your hands. Retroactively, he wants to do this. He said he wants to take them all away from them. If you have them, I think we need to start taking them. Let's see, there's just too many guns, blah, 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 blah. California is doing the same thing right now in their psychotic frenzy of anti-gun hysteria. And there's a lot of places that are doing gun buybacks. Interesting, USA Today just ran an article saying the gun buybacks don't work. And they cite several people who have done studies and who have personally been at the gun buyback programs, and they're saying they don't work. They don't get the guns off the streets like they say. But it makes them feel good. And somebody wrote in. This was a pastor of a church of the Living God in Avondale says, if we can save one life, if we can stop one act of violence, if we can get a gun out of one person's hands, we've made progress in the fight to end violence in our communities. Now, it's kind of hard for them to do that with the Second Amendment in the way. But there's a professor that says we need to get rid of the Constitution altogether. We need to scrap it. He calls for a repeal of the U.S. Constitution, and he says that this guy's from Georgetown University. His name is Lewis Michael Seidman. He is a constitutional expert, if you can believe it or not. And he's saying that a blind allegiance to the outdated document is perilous. And we're paying this guy six figures to indoctrinate our kids with our tax dollars through government education grants. Isn't that great? Let's see. A lot of gun, pro-gun and anti-gun groups are facing off with each other at gun shows. Let's see. Georgia woman shoots intruder. You guys heard about that one. Woman alone. Guy tries to break into the house. She grabs the gun, her cell phone, and the kids. Runs upstairs. The guy comes in. She shoots him. Fires six times, hits him five, and now the guy's clinging for his life. You guys, that one's all over the place. As far as the news goes, you'd have to be living under a rock not to have heard about that one already. And also in Georgia, unfortunately, in the same state, the court said that it won't overturn a ban on guns in church. So the GeorgiaCarry.org is fighting that. One good thing that's coming out of Georgia, another good thing, and this is right next to the Southern Redoubt, that northwest portion of Georgia, a sheriff pulls support for Dana equipment. Now, Dana Safety supplies a major distributor of weapons and accessories to police departments and civilians. And they sell stuff across the country, around the world. And they declare that they will no longer sell semi-automatic rifles to civilians. They will only sell to law enforcement. So Sheriff Scott Berry down there in Oconee County says that that's not acceptable. He wrote a letter saying, we will no longer be seeking your services and using your company because of your decision not to sell to civilians. Now, here's another good thing that's happening. Wyoming Firearm Protections Act. That's what the legislature is trying to push through in Wyoming right now. A number of Wyoming lawmakers are proposing legislation intended to protect gun owners from any future federal ban on semi-auto rifles or high-capacity magazines. It's called the Firearms Protection Act, and it would make any federal law banning semi-automatic rifles or limiting magazine capacity unenforceable in Wyoming. Now, here's the really cool part. This is the teeth in it. The Wyoming Attorney General's office would also be permitted to defend any state resident against a federal gun ban. So you're not on your own. You got the state backing you. And this is the way it should be. And any agent or employee of the federal government who tries to enforce a federal firearms ban could be facing a felony arrest. And so let's hope and pray that this goes through, pushing through state sovereignty under the 10th Amendment. Of course, here's the argument that you're going to hear, and this is what's going to be confusing people that are saying, let's do it. 10th Amendment, go 10th Amendment. The opponents are going to argue the Supremacy Clause. Now, if you haven't heard of the Supremacy Clause, it goes on the premise that any federal law that's in conflict with state law, when that happens, federal law is dominant. In other words, the federal law takes precedence over state law if there's a conflict. And they're saying the law of supremacy applies here. Now, the law of supremacy supports prior cases that have come out And what it has to do with is the portion of the Constitution where treaties that are signed into law with Congress dominate when a state says, okay, let me give you an example. The federal government, Congress, signs a treaty with several other countries saying, we won't spray this certain chemical on all these vegetables because it's found to cause cancer. And everyone signs this treaty. A state can't say, no, we're passing a law saying it's okay to use this chemical. Well, the federal law, because it's a treaty, the states are bound to this treaty. As long as it doesn't violate the Constitution, you're bound to follow this treaty. Okay, that's the law of supremacy. However, with firearms, you're protected under the state and the federal constitutions. And we're going to get to some of that. We're going to talk a little bit about that as far as the legality of the government putting restrictions on firearms and what type of firearms. So anyway, I hope that clears some of that up for you. And I just burned up my time that I wanted to cover up a couple other stories, but cover a couple other stories. There's a lot of anti-gun hysteria out there. We're going to take a break here in just a second. And I'm going to let Foster the People, an independent rock band, take a song, Pumped Up Kicks, into this break segment. That song was pulled because of massive pressure. The song is about a kid who goes and shoots people that have been bullying him. That is the description in a nutshell, which I'll talk about more in just a second. The hypocrites in Hollywood produced a video called Demand a Plan. It's a bunch of actors, familiar faces, saying in small clips, enough is enough. When is it going to stop? No more lists of dead kids. Basically, their message was a strong anti-gun message to get guns off the streets. The video was called Demand a Plan. Now, some very talented individual produced a great counter video to that. In each portion where an actor or actress says, enough is enough, get them off, there's too many guns, blah, blah, blah. This person found video footage from movies, films, videos that these actors were in, blowing people away. So they don't want to take ownership, but they're culpable. They are contributing to this culture of violence that we've created. And there they are saying, we got to get guns off the streets, but there they are shooting guns and blowing people away. And there's blood and guts and everything else flying, shooting full auto weapons and so on. Meanwhile, they're saying guns are horrible, but they don't want to admit that they're culpable. Anyway, take a look at that. I've uploaded that, as well as Rosie O'Donnell's hypocritical compilation of speeches about how we need to get guns off the streets. There's too many guns. Meanwhile, her own bodyguard has a concealed weapons permit. So what she's saying is having a gun is good enough to protect her children, but it's not good enough for protecting your or my children. And so she's a hypocrite, and we're exposing her. We posted that video up there too. Somebody else did a great job putting that together. Let's talk about Pumped Up Kicks. The lyrics to Pumped Up Kicks are written from the perspective of a troubled and delusional youth with homicidal thoughts. The lines in the chorus warn the potential victims to outrun my gun and that they better run faster than my bullet. Now, the guy who wrote it, the kid, he's early 20s, amazingly insightful. He said in a statement to CNN, he said, I wrote Pumped Up Kicks when I began to read about the growing trend in teenage mental illness. He said, I wanted to understand the psychology behind it because it was foreign to me. It was terrifying how mental illness, read demonic activity, always replace mental illness with demonic activity or influence. So the mental illness, demonic activity among youth had skyrocketed in the last decade. I was scared to see where the pattern was headed if we didn't start changing the way we were bringing up the next generation. In writing the song, Foster wanted to get inside the head of an isolated, psychotic kid and bring awareness to the issue of gun violence among youth, which he feels is an, listen to this, he feels is an epidemic perpetuated by a lack of family, lack of love, and isolation. Pretty insightful. And of course, the song's title, Kicks, Pumped Up Kicks, refers to shoes that his peers wear as a status symbol. All right, we're going to head into segment two here in just a moment, and we're going to talk more about the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. We already know what their end goal is, to cripple the ability of Americans to resist tyranny. So what do we do about it? Do we fully understand what the Second Amendment is? When they come at us with their arguments that are compelling and believable, if you don't know the truth, we're going to shed some truth on what the Second Amendment really is about. Where do we draw the line? That and more right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. In a TEOTWAUKEE or major national emergency, if you have to travel to get to your retreat or to the American Redoubt, you should be planning and mapping your routes now. That means a primary, secondary, alternate, and an all else fails movement plan. That plan should include a printed list of redoubters in the American Redoubt network along your route, to include call signs, locations, and the communications equipment and frequencies they have listed in the ARN member directory. And make sure your equipment matches theirs. Being able to connect with other known redoubters for assistance can save lives. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network.
Welcome back to the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt. We've got a ton of new members to the American Redoubt Network. And you can just join that by clicking on the link that says join. Follow the instructions there. Send us an email with the in the subject line, I'm a redoubter. Those are the magic words. But I just wanted to take a second to extend a big welcome. Inside the American Redoubt, we have new members in Thompson Falls, Montana, in Idaho, from Idaho County, Kootenai County, and Boise, Northwest Wyoming, and Riverton, Wyoming, two new members, Green Bluff, Washington. And outside the American Redoubt, which probably comprises about three quarters of our membership and our listenership, followership, outside the American Redoubt, and what we affectionately refer to as OARs, outside the American Redoubt, welcome our new members from California, Mississippi, Washington, Alaska, Arizona, Missouri, Georgia, Maine, and Virginia, plus multiple new members from Tennessee, the Texas Redoubt, and Indiana. Of course, those from Indiana are probably going to be redoubting pretty soon if your legislator gets his way there, huh? Okay, I got a letter I want to read to you real quick before we get to the Second Amendment stuff. This guy writes, I hang out on many different blogs, including Enola Gay's Paratus Familia blog. Excellent choice. Those guys are awesome. Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about that in just a second. There's an article over there that she posted about a week and a half ago. He says, if you know me, I love Texas. I fear demographics are changing, and Texas will be a blue state in 20 years. I'm interested in moving to Idaho and would like to know if Idaho is a property rights state like Texas, and what the water laws are like for water rights. Currently in Texas, we have right to capture for water. I have a family history of four generations of cattle ranching. My grandfather was forced to sell the ranch, and I'd like to pick up where he left off, possibly in Idaho. Your advice on this would be invaluable. I listen to every show on podcast. Keep up the good work. Thank you, and thank you for listening, and thanks for the letter. I get letters all the time, but every now and then I like to throw one or two out there that might very possibly be something that several other people are wondering the same thing. I've had emails before asking about, you know, what's the property rights like in the American Redoubt. Of course, that varies from state to state. You mentioned specifically that you're interested in Idaho. The top two states that are hot spots where people are moving to are Montana and Idaho within the American Redoubt. I would say that Wyoming probably is the most... they're at the top of the list for preserving liberty, including their elected officials who are continuously fighting and striving toward protecting Americanism and our heritage and our liberties. But they are probably the lowest, or they are the lowest, as far as prosperity goes. It's hard to find good-paying jobs, and a lot of you have jobs that you're trying to transfer to the American Redoubt with, and you have limited options, so you kind of have to gravitate toward a larger, densely populated area because you're trying to support your family. Okay, so that brings us back to Idaho or Montana. All three of those, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, very strong property rights states. And, of course, those vary from state to state. I'm not aware of any laws that... do not allow you to capture your own water. Obviously, you cannot divert a creek into and across your property and dam it up because that's covered by federal law, federal waterways. And here's the problem. The Agenda 21 agenda and the federal government's environmental so-called protection agency is far-reaching. There is no place you can go where those don't affect you. Agenda 21 is in every community in the world and in the United States. So you're not going to run here and not have any issues there. It's something that we all have to fight and we all have to be aware of and be vigilant about and push back. The American Redoubt states are areas where patriots are very aware and they are pushing back the most, but we still have to contend with it. Otherwise, as it is now, they are still very strong property rights states. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. If you have any other questions, similar questions, then I'd be more than happy to address those. And also in your own research, if you come across things that could be helpful to others, post it. If you're a member, you can post it on the forum, and people are always asking about information about moving and where to move to and trying to make those decisions. So share with others. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. What is the Second Amendment? Well, it is the Second Amendment to the Constitution. It was part of the Bill of Rights, and it says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Period. So why did they put it there? So we could defend ourselves against an intruder who's got us trapped in an attic? Well, yes. It is to defend ourselves. There's no question about that. I've got a couple links here that have a lot of documentation about guns being used in self-defense. defensive gun use studies. Now, this is really great reading, but you know what? This is also a great tool to help somebody that's on the fence. They're not sure where to stand on it, on the issue, because they're getting information from both sides and they seem confused. So guns used in self-defense and defensive gun use studies are great reading material and could persuade some undecided parties. However, you and I already know where we stand on the issue, and the left doesn't want to hear it anyway. Remember, liberalism is a mental disorder. You cannot reason with them. It's like reasoning with a drunk. They already know what they believe in. They already hate guns. They already support the murdering of children in their wombs. They want high taxes. They want lots of free stuff. And you can't reason that away from them. You can't give them a compelling argument and make them say, man, you really gave me something to think about. I'm completely changing my views on this topic. It's not going to happen. So don't waste your time arguing with liberals about these things. The Second Amendment is more than just defending yourself against a guy breaking in. It's about defending yourself against tyranny. There's so many arguments out there as far as why we don't need certain guns. Now, you and I know where we stand. Hopefully. Hopefully you should know where you stand. There's a good article out there called from patriotsline.com. Where is your line in the sand? When are you going to say enough is enough, like the founding fathers did? It's a good article. There's a lot of food for thought. I'm going to post it there so you can read it. And they state in this article, the founding fathers would be shooting by now. Would they? Now, he rightly points out that we are supposed to be long-suffering under tyranny. Great way to put that. But how long is enough, he asks. How much abuse what must we suffer under a government that becomes continuously oppressive? Well, there comes a time. You got to know where your line in the sand is. He addresses this. But here's the thing. You also have to know what you're fighting for. Because it's a very compelling argument for somebody to say, look, you don't need a combat rifle, what they call an assault weapon. I like that. One of the members at that party yesterday, or at the Tea Party Patriot, the coalition meeting of patriots, someone stood up and said, we need to stop calling these assault weapons. They are combat rifles. And you know what? He's right. So, combat rifles have no legitimate sporting purpose. That's the argument. We don't need guns. That's why we have 911. You don't need to go hunting with a 30-round magazine. You hear, I support the Second Amendment. I'm a hunter, but I've never used an assault weapon, that's combat rifle, to hunt deer. These guns should not be in the hands of regular citizens. Nobody needs an AR-15 or an AK-47 to go deer hunting. Or the militia, in the Second Amendment, means the National Guard. It means the army. Or you hear, they had muskets back then. They never could have conceived of a semi-automatic weapon. We don't need all these big guns running around. Nobody needs a 30-round magazine. The citizen militia is antiquated. In this day and age, we have a powerful military to protect us. When they wrote the Second Amendment, everyone had muskets, not these terrible weapons that we have today. These arguments sound familiar? Because if you don't know exactly what they meant by the Second Amendment, you could find yourself agreeing, yeah, I kind of see the point. Do we really need assault rifles? I mean, this woman in Georgia successfully defended herself with a six-shot revolver, a .38 special. It worked. It was enough. She didn't need an assault weapon, combat rifle. Okay, so they're saying, look, we're just talking about the assault weapons. We're not saying you can't defend yourself. You obviously have the right to defend yourself. But you don't need... How do they know what you need? How do they know what you won't need in the future? And what kind of a weapon do you need to protect yourself? Who are you protecting yourself from? Why is that there? Is it to keep you safe from burglars? Do they have such a burglar problem back in the days of the founding fathers that everyone had to have something to defend themselves against the burglar? Is that what they were up against? You need to understand what the spirit and intent of the Constitution, the amendments are. Thomas Jefferson said that on every question of construction of the Constitution, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. In other words, when you are trying to say, well, well-regulated militia, what did they mean? Well, I think it means this, or I think it means that. Stop thinking. Go back to when it was debated and look at the arguments of the founding fathers. Read the Federalist Papers. Look at the constitutional conventions and see the transcripts. And then that's what we pay the judges the big bucks for. What did the authors of these amendments have in mind? This little twist and distort separation of church and state, which is nowhere in the Constitution, but they treat it like it is. But they'll take something like the Second Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth or the Sixth, on and on, the Tenth, and they'll say, well, we think what they really meant was this or that, which is not what they meant, because you can see otherwise when you read their arguments. There's no question. So Thomas Jefferson was saying, if you're not sure, if you're not trying to interpret this, go back to when it was debated and find out what we meant. That's what he's saying. And then Thomas Jefferson said, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. I'm going to go down the list. I'm going to read you some of the statements from our founding fathers. James Madison said, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. He echoed Thomas Jefferson, a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the best and most natural defense of a free country. A militia, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves and include all men capable of bearing arms. That was Richard Henry Lee. Representative Elbridge Gerry, Massachusetts, said, what, sir, is the use of a militia? It is to prevent the establishment of a standing army, the bane of liberty. Whenever governments mean to invade the rights and liberties of the people, they always attempt to destroy the militia in order to raise up an army upon their ruins. So the argument that we don't need a militia today because it's antiquated, because now we have a powerful military to protect us, so we don't need all these people running around with assault weapons, combat rifles. That's not true. We do need them because the bane of liberty is a standing army. And the governments historically have used standing armies to oppress their people. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. This is super important, people. To disarm the people, that was the best and most effectual way to enslave them. George Mason said that. James Madison said in the Federalist Papers, Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. The armed American citizen is the largest army in the world. Alexander Hamilton said, but if circumstances should at any time oblige the government to form an army of any magnitude, that army can never be formidable to the liberties of the people. While there is a large body of citizens, little if at all inferior to them in discipline and use of arms, who stand ready to defend their rights. That means you're required to train with your combat rifle. Understand that? You're a barrier between a standing army and liberty. As civil rulers, not having their duty to the people before them, may attempt to tyrannize, and as the military forces which must be occasionally raised to defend our country, might pervert their power to the injury of their fellow citizens, the people are confirmed by the article in their right to keep and bear private arms. This is a barrier to tyranny. Are you getting this? That's from Tench Cox. He also said, Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Now, we talk about they had muskets back then. They couldn't possibly have thought about these terrible things that we have now called assault weapons. Listen to what Tench Cox has to say. He says, Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state government, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. Every other terrible implement of the soldier. What does a typical infantryman carry? That's your right. That's not just your right, that's your birthright. No clause in the Constitution could, by any rule of construction, be conceived to give Congress power to disarm the people. That was William Rawl. To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. Richard Henry Lee. He was the initiator of the Declaration of Independence. Did you know that? He was also a member of the first Senate, which passed the Bill of Rights. You want to find out what they meant by the Second Amendment? You're looking right into their soul right here. To preserve liberty, it's essential that the whole body of people, always, underline, always possess firearms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. You should start your children off with a BB gun and a pop can. And then you go to 22s. And then you work your way up until they can shoot the M1 Garand, until they can shoot the M1A. So they can fire and use their M4. You should be training them when they're young. The great object is that every man be armed and everyone who is able may have a gun. Patrick Henry. Zachariah Johnson said the people are not to be disarmed of their weapons. They are left in full possession of them. Alexander Hamilton, the best we can hope for concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. Thomas Jefferson, he said, and what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Patrick Henry said, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. Patrick Henry. Thomas Jefferson made it very clear. The strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Firearms stand, this is George Washington, the first and greatest president this nation has ever had. Firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. That's George Washington. Now, since the Constitution was ratified, there's been some questions come up. There have been charges brought. There's been interpretations. And the courts, Lord bless them, their job is to look at and interpret the Constitution. When rightfully done, when done correctly, they go back and look at the spirit and intent of the Constitution, something that our modern so-called Supreme Court justices are negligent in. This is what some of the courts have ruled. This is from Wilson versus State in Arkansas. This was the judge's ruling. To prohibit a citizen from wearing or carrying a war arm, combat rifle, it is is an unwarranted restriction upon the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. If cowardly and dishonorable men sometimes shoot unarmed men with army pistols or guns, the evil must be prevented by the penitentiary and the gallows, not by a general deprivation of constitutional privilege. In other words, you don't go and take everyone's constitutional right away when somebody murders someone else. The penitentiary and the gallows are what's used to prevent that. Because depriving everyone of their constitutional privilege doesn't prevent those kind of hostilities anyway. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the whole people, old and young, men, women, and boys, and not militia only, to keep and bear arms of every description. Now, they want to put age limits on how old a kid can be to be in possession of a firearm. With adult supervision, there shouldn't be an age. This court ruling right here, Nunn versus State, out of Georgia, says that the whole people, old and young, men, women, and boys, and you could include girls, not just the militia, to keep and bear arms of every description, and not such merely as used by the militia. The People versus Zurillo, Michigan. Says that the provision in the Constitution granting the right to all person to bear arms is a limitation upon the power of the legislature to enact any law to the contrary. The exercise of a right guaranteed by the Constitution cannot be made subject to the will of the sheriff. How many of you, wherever you are, have had to crawl to the sheriff's office to get a little piece of paper signed so you can own a firearm? That's why several states have shall issue clauses written into their concealed weapons permit laws, which is not really a permit. They shall issue it to you, okay, as long as you don't have a criminal history. The maintenance of the right to bear arms is a most essential one to every free people and should not be whittled down by technical constructions. That came out from State versus Kerner. In other words, you can't say, well, yeah, you can have this weapon, you can have this AR-15, but first, you can't call it an AR-15, you have to change the name. You can't have a bayonet lug. You can't have a flash suppressor. You can only have a 10-round magazine. That's exactly what this was talking about. You should not be whittled down by technical constructions as far as maintenance of the right to bear arms. And then Cochran versus the State in Texas, the right of a citizen to bear arms in lawful defense of himself or the state is absolute. I want to post this one on the website. Burn this one in. This is so important when they say that they have the right to pass a law to debar the use of arms. Listen to this carefully. This is what a judge rightfully ruled in Cochran versus State. The right of a citizen to bear arms in lawful defense of himself or the state is absolute. That's a powerful word. He does not derive it from the state government. It is one of the high powers delegated directly to the citizen and is accepted out of the general powers of government. A law cannot be passed to infringe upon or impair it because it is above the law and independent from the lawmaking power. You understand that the right to bear arms is above the legislator. It's outside of the realm of what they have the power or the authority to do. It's something they cannot touch. It doesn't even fall within their jurisdiction because it's from God. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful ruling. And of course, the one I like. Then he said unto them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his bag. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus told his guys to get a sword. And if they didn't have one, sell something to go and get one, but get one. And there's plenty of pacifist type Christians out there who try to twist and turn this in every way that they can think of to say that he was just talking figuratively, or he didn't really mean a sword, or he said when they did pull one out and say, hey, we have one here, he said, that's enough. And they go like, oh, Jesus was just saying, that's enough of that nonsense. That's not what he meant. You're deceiving others when you tell them that. He didn't say go out and overthrow the government and buy a sword and start. He didn't go there. But he did recognize that when they went out, there would be danger and they need to be prepared to have some means of self-defense. It was pretty clear. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the plans that people are talking about as far as disarming Americans. We've got a couple announcements coming up, and then I'm going to talk about that meeting. I know this is a long show tonight, but you can take it off in bite-sized pieces and listen to it throughout the week, a little 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. But I really want to cover some of this material, give you guys a lot to think about. And plus, it's been a couple weeks since I've broadcasted, and we will not be broadcasting for another couple weeks. So this will give you some time to go through some of this and look at some of these highlights and resources on the highlights and resources posting for this show. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You are tuned in to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The word ban seems to be popular here in Olympia. We have banned phosphorus in dishwasher liquid, lead in wheel weights, and many of you have heard about Senate Bill 6396, the so-called assault weapons ban. Not to be outdone, in the House of Representatives, House Bill 2477 was introduced, imposing strict liability on any person who sells a gun at a gun show that is later used in the commission of a crime. You heard that right. If this bill passed, you could be sued in court and would be automatically found at fault if someone else committed a crime. Incredible, but true. These bills substantiate the fears of many that some in government want to effectively eliminate the right to bear arms. They introduced these bills using the excuse that such legislation would have prevented the tragic deaths of four police officers in Pierce County. To try and capitalize politically on such a horrible event is beyond despicable. No amount of legislation would have prevented that tragedy. Why? Because people are not inherently good. We are all sinners, and if we are Christians, we are sinners saved by grace. There are evil people in this world, people with beady little eyes sitting in dark corners of the globe and places with names we cannot pronounce, plotting our very destruction. But not only there, some of those people live amongst us, lying in wait for the next opportunity to extend the influence of evil. But the right to bear arms is more than self-defense. It is about preventing tyranny. History is rife with the stories of people being disarmed by tyrants. The attempt to ban so-called assault weapons is an attack on the very heart of liberty, on the ability of men and women to live free. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
All right, we're back at the Voice of the American Redoubt. John Jacob Schmidt, thanks for being with us. And if you're joining us late, we're talking about the Second Amendment. We went down through several quotes and arguments from the debates and different letters that were being passed back and forth between the founding fathers to look at the original intent, which is required when you are trying to find out what they meant in the Constitution. What does this amendment really mean? What did they mean by it? You have to go back and look at the spirit and intent of that, back to when it was constructed, when they had the debates, when they argued their points, and to find out what exactly they meant. We've very clearly established what the Second Amendment is for. It is to keep the citizen armed with the same implements of war as your infantry soldiers, so that you can fight tyranny, including a standing army should it be used by the government to wage injury against its citizens and to tyrannize them. It is not about hunting. It is not about duck hunting. It's not about keeping yourself safe from burglars. Although that is a peripheral advantage, that's one of the beneficial side effects of having arms. Absolutely. But it is really as a barrier against tyranny, so you can stand between liberty and oppression, clearly. And this is a heavy topic. We're going to get into some more heavy stuff here in just a little bit. Some really serious stuff for you to think about. But we're going to break it up with a little bit of levity here, because this can be sometimes some pretty heavy stuff to think about. And so somebody sent in a letter. Now, please don't send in all your I don't have time to read. It is all I can do to respond to the letters and emails that I already get in, plus with everything else going on. Please don't send chain letters. You know, send this to everybody on your list if you love Jesus, you know, and send me some, you know, poem about some little boy who lost his puppy or whatever. I just don't have time for that stuff. So please take me off your occasional jokes and pictures and stuff like that. There's one guy in Southern Idaho who sends me, it's the perfect balance. There's some great pictures every now and then, a little poem or something like that, really short, sweet, to the point. He doesn't bombard me with them. And never chain letters, thank the Lord. So anyway, but I got this one, is really cool. You live in the American redoubt if. So number one, if someone in a Home Depot store offers you assistance and they don't work there, you live in the American redoubt. If you've worn shorts and a parka at the same time, you live in the American redoubt. If you've had a lengthy telephone conversation with someone who dialed the wrong number, you live in the American redoubt. If vacation means going anywhere south of Salt Lake City for the weekend, if you measure distance in hours, you live in the American redoubt. If you know several people who have hit a deer more than once, if you have switched from heat to AC and back again in the same day, if you install security lights on your house and garage but leave both unlocked, if you can drive 75 miles an hour through 2 feet of snow during a raging blizzard without flinching, like today, you live in the American redoubt. If you design your kid's Halloween costume to fit over a snowsuit, you live in the American redoubt. If the speed limit on the highway is 55, you're going 80, and everyone is still passing you, you live in Montana. if driving is better in the winter because the potholes are filled with snow, you live in the American redoubt. If you find 10 degrees a little chilly, you live in the American redoubt. And that is really applicable because we are in the single and teens, single digits and teens here, probably for the next couple more days. If you know all four seasons, and amen to this, almost winter, winter, still winter, and road construction. Those are the four seasons in the American redoubt. Anyway, those are a lot of fun. Thanks for sending that in. I just thought I'd share that with you and kind of wanted to lighten things up a little bit. Now, I didn't get a letter. I was perusing some of the blogs that I like to follow, and Paratus Familia blog, ran by Enola Gay, always has everything on there is worth reading and looking at. I really appreciate her insights. She posts a lot of original material, but occasionally she comes across something that's really gripping that's written by someone else, and she'll repost it. And this is an example of that. It's from a woman who went through not Germany. She lived in Austria. She said, "Let them who have ears, let them hear." And she starts off with saying, "What I'm about to tell you is something you've probably never heard or will ever read in history books. I believe that I am an eyewitness to history. I cannot tell you that this first sentence is just grabbed me right there. I never thought about it before. But this is what she starts off with. Now we see Obama grabbing more and more power and collecting it to himself. Okay, we're talking about executive orders outside of the legislative. If the Congress won't pass this, then I'll do it on my own through executive order. Pretty arrogant, just like a dictator. But she writes this: "I believe I am an eyewitness to history. I cannot tell you that Hitler took Austria by tanks and guns. It would distort history. We elected him by a landslide, 98% of the vote. I've never read that in any American publications. Everyone thinks that Hitler just rolled in with his tanks and took Austria by force. When they voted for him, we were overjoyed, and for 3 days we danced in the streets. We had candlelight parades. The new government opened up big field kitchens, and everyone was fed. Then he starts targeting education. He eliminates religious instruction for children. Our education was nationalized. I attended a very good public school. The population was predominantly Catholic, so we had religion in our schools. The day we elected Hitler, I walked into my schoolroom to find the crucifix replaced by Hitler's picture hanging next to a Nazi flag. Our teacher, a very devout woman, stood up and told the class we wouldn't pray or have religion anymore. Instead, we sang Deutschland, Deutschland über alles and had physical education. Hitler resurrected the family through daycare. Healthcare and small business suffered under government. Extreme control. They redefined mercy killing. It was euthanasia. It's like they're trying here. The final steps," she said, "were gun laws." I'm just hitting some of the high points. I want you guys to go read this article. You've got to read it. You've got to know history. You've got to listen to the stories of the people who pleaded with us, pleaded and begged. Do not forget what we went through. I'm telling my story so you won't forget. Please do not let this happen to you. They write the warning signs on the wall so we will recognize them when we see them. But when we see them, we're always convinced that it's just a more improved, new and improved communism or socialism or some other type of tyranny that's really good for us. We'll see. Just trust them. Give it some time. Give them a few more trillion dollars. Give them just a little. Let's compromise our principles. Let's compromise on the Constitution because we really need to take action now. Let's pass this legislation now so we can read and find out what's in it later. These people are telling us, they're coming out of the past and saying, don't forget what happened, and we're not... I know you guys, I know where you're at. I know you see what's going on. I see what's going on. But you feel like a voice screaming in the wilderness and nobody's listening. It's like a bad movie. Like everybody's the invasion of the body snatchers. You feel like you're the only sane one. Sometimes you feel like you're living in like Alice in Wonderland. The whole world's going crazy. And no matter what you try to point out, people look at you like you're crazy. Things get turned upside down. The gun registrations came next. People were getting injured by guns. Hitler said that the real way to catch criminals, because they still had a few, was by matching serial numbers on guns. Most citizens were law-abiding and dutifully marched to the police station to register their firearms. Not long afterwards, the police said that it was best for everyone to turn in their guns. This is a pattern that repeats itself over and over and over. First legislation, then registration, then confiscation, and then tyranny. It's a pattern we've seen over and over. The police said it was best for everyone to turn in their guns. The authorities already knew who had them, so it was futile not to comply voluntarily. No more freedom of speech. Anyone said something against the government was taken away. We knew many people who were arrested, not only Jews, but also priests and ministers who spoke up. Pay attention, priests and ministers. Totalitarianism didn't come quickly. It took 5 years, from 1938 to 1943, to realize full dictatorship in Austria. Had it happened overnight, my countrymen would have fought to the last breath. Instead, we had creeping gradualism. Sound familiar? Now, our only weapons were broom handles. The whole idea sounds almost unbelievable, that the state, little by little, eroded our freedom. It's true, those of us who sailed past the Statue of Liberty came to a country of unbelievable freedom and opportunity. America truly is the greatest country in the world. Don't let freedom slip away. And here is the most gripping part of this entire story, the whole thing that summarizes it all. She said, after America, there is no place to go. People are clamoring to get to America. They want to try to duplicate it in their own countries, but their governments have such a stranglehold on them, they can't duplicate what we have in America. They're trying to come to America. This is the reason why it is so uniquely America. And we're trying to change that. And we've got a leader that's trying to dictate legislature, who already promised us, he's not a liar, he's a man of his word, I'm going to fundamentally transform America. They're doing it. How long do you wait? Where's that line in the sand? Have we crossed that line in the sand already? What should we be doing right now? Start thinking about these things. We're going to be talking about more and more of this. The people are taking action right now. These coalition, patriot coalitions that are coming together, we're going to talk about in the next segment. You need to start deciding what you're going to do. Are you going to turn in your weapons? Hopefully not. Are you going to register them? God forbid. That could be the line in the sand, and I believe that's where it is right there. I believe that it's going to be, you pass whatever laws you want because it's not enforceable. Because the law that you pass to disarm me is inoperable. The law that you passed has no authority, because the right for me to hold a firearm against tyranny comes from such a higher authority that your legislature cannot even touch it. So your rule is invalid. Now, what you do is you stand on that. And then you don't register it. Number of different ways you could handle that. You walk around carefree with a weapon that's banned, that's not registered. And what you do is you just live your life like a free man. And then when they try to enforce their illegal laws, then that's when the fighting starts. You can wait until all you have is broomsticks left. Have you guys ever heard of Alexander Solzhenitsyn? He's from Russia. He was a Soviet and Russian novelist and a historian. And he wrote several. He wrote writings about the Gulag. He wrote the book, The Gulag Archipelago, and One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. He wrote this. Listen to these words. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive, and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose, and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. If we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. That's pretty amazing. Think about that. We'll be right back.
If you serve your country either in law enforcement or in the military and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
Radio Free Readout is a strong proponent of disaster preparedness and self-sufficient living. Although we touch on the topic from time to time, we're not a resource which specializes in those areas. However, among the hundreds of resources that are out there, we've come across some that we found to be particularly useful. You'll find some of those in a list of links about halfway down the page on the right at www.radiofreereadout.blogspot.com. In fact, they are the resources that we use. If you know of a resource that has been exceptionally useful to you and would like to see it added to our list of links, email the links to us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive, top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now, anything we purchase, we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotihuacan happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Readout. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of a longer-than-usual broadcast, episode 1301. Here at the Voice of the American Readout. There's a couple things that I wanted to mention. First of all, did I mention that I was going to be posting the 58-minute YouTube video on the Highlights and Resources posting from Innocence Betrayed? I sat there and watched that a couple weeks ago with Mrs. Schmidt. And of course, you know, being married to me, she is pretty heavily indoctrinated. She gets an earful on a lot of issues. And she's heard me mention it before, but as far as the history of governments oppressing their people and killing their people and so on, but she'd never really seen documentation of it. She was stunned when she sat down and watched Innocence Betrayed. It's graphic, so warning to those of you who have a difficult time sometimes watching some disturbing images, because there's real footage of some of the atrocities that governments have done to their people. But it's something that everyone needs to be aware of. It's part of the indoctrination process to bring people up to speed so that they understand why it is so important we do not allow ourselves to be disarmed and what could happen. The other thing I want to mention, I'm going to go into this more in depth in future shows, so I'm going to save this. But there was a think tank article that came out at Small Wars Journal. I read it when it came out last July, last summer. And what it was this article, it was a hypothetical scenario of a militia who took over a town and arrested some of the people, and they were influenced by the Tea Party movement. And these guys develop a scenario for our war planners to think about as far as what could happen in the future. And it's kind of upsetting that they've demonized essentially the Tea Party movement through this and made them a bunch of radicals. But I guess our founding fathers were radicals. So it's something we're going to have to expect. I'm not saying that our war planners are looking at this saying, yeah, we absolutely have to plan for this. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of people that are already thinking along these lines, going to war against Americans. I mean war, like what's going on in Afghanistan against the Taliban, but only against American patriots. Forbes wrote an article just this last November titled How the U.S. Military Would Crush a Tea Party Rebellion. I think, and of course he cites this Small Wars Journal article, very, very interesting. And down in the comments, I don't want to get too much into this, because like I said, I really want to cover this in depth and open up a big discussion on this topic. It's super important and it's right in line with the mission of Radio Free Redoubt. But there was one commenter by the name of Annan who posted a comment at the bottom of this Forbes or Small Wars Journal article detailing this scenario where this Tea Party-inspired anti-immigration militia rose up and took a bunch of people, arrested a bunch of people, and basically how our government should respond or could respond. This guy writes, it's far more accurate to say that in lieu of the election signaling the country's new moral and ethic tone, that conservatives would rather shore up red states in terms of states' rights and self-determination as enclaves to live and work, where conservative values, traditions, and children and wallets would be left unmolested by Washington's social engineering. Is the right to living one's privacy and morals in peace so off the wall? What this guy's basically saying is he thinks that with the new political climate, it's more likely that we will see enclaves or redoubts where people will begin shoring up those numbers, the demographic shifts. And that's exactly what the American Redoubt is all about. So that was pretty insightful by that, whoever posted that. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in detail. We have to be aware of what's going on. I'm going to talk about that now, how we do that. We all feel a calling to certain things. Those that are oath keepers, they get heavily involved in oath keepers. They want to be part of that. They believe in it, and it's a righteous mission. That's their calling. There are people in the Tea Party movement that are watching these school levy situations. They're looking at some of these taxes and legislation that's getting passed. They are really powerful watchdogs on those items. The people from the John Birch Society, bulwarks against communism, basically, they're watchdogs against communism, socialism, Marxism, as it creeps in. Now, they've really taken on and just jumped into the forefront of the fight against Agenda 21. Well, when everybody's got their own mission and they seem to be doing their own thing, these guys are over here doing their thing. These guys are over there doing their thing. And what we need to do is start pulling together. Instead of a whole bunch of individuals on our own individual missions, these patriots need to start coming together. And this is what happened. It started off as a prepper meeting group. But at this meeting, it was represented by the John Birch Society, the Tea Party movement, Oath Keepers. There were prepper networks there. There were the North Idaho Patriots for Ron Paul, former Idaho Senator Phil Hart, his strong, powerful patriot. There were some groups that were not present. Oh, there were some ham radio operators there discussing ham communications. Some groups that were not present were Spokane Preppers, which is a network of preppers, John Birch Society of Post Falls, John Birch Society of Sandpoint, and United Conservatives of North Idaho. Those guys have been to previous meetings, but weren't at this one. So what this is, it's a coalition of patriot groups coming together and sharing information. Because when you get caught up in your own little world, it's easy to miss what's going on over here. The guys in Oath Keepers might not really be up to speed on what's going on with school levies or what's going on with some homeschooling legislation. The homeschooling legislation or right to life folks might not be thinking about the mission of Oath Keepers and how important that is, or they might not be really that knowledgeable about Agenda 21. But a lot of these things can overlap because Agenda 21 could affect people in other groups. What they did was the first 2 hours prior to the main meeting was a group of ham operators and those that are interested in communications from a prepper mindset to keep patriots connected in a grid down or Teotwaki or some other type of event in the future where maybe conventional communications isn't available. So they had a meeting and there must have been, I want to say 15 to 20 people there. And then at noon, all these other groups started showing up. And what happened was each group presented from the last meeting that they had topics that they wanted to discuss and think about. They said, come next week with a list or the next meeting, which was about six weeks ago. Come to the next meeting with things that you think are the most pressing issues that need to be dealt with. And they did. And this ranged from issues having to do with preppers or prepping. It had to do with communications. It had to do with the Oath Keepers mission. It had to do with several pieces of legislation that's going on. You had all these groups sharing information. They're building a coalition. They're not so isolated anymore. And now here's the other thing. We've got a couple of events coming up. Now, I have an announcement that was brought up, and of course, I got a couple emails on this as well. You guys know that January 19th is Gun Appreciation Day, and that was put on by gunappreciationday.com. I don't have that website right in front of me, but on Saturday, January 19th, from 1 to 2 p.m., at Black Sheep Sporting Goods, that's in Coeur d'Alene on right off US Highway 95. They've confirmed they got a speaker there. Senator Steve Vick is going to speak on the Second Amendment. That's for Gun Appreciation Day. So I want to encourage as many of you as possible to show up for that. Now, this was announced at this Patriot Coalition meeting, but here's another beautiful thing that came up. There's also an announcement that came up at the same time, and that was a Right to Life march. And that's going to be also happening in Coeur d'Alene on Saturday at 10 a.m. Okay, that's Pacific Standard Time. All right, January 19th, it's going to start at Skate Plaza in the parking lot. It's going to go a couple speeches, and then the pro-life group's going to march up to Niter Street and then back to Skate Plaza. Now, what this is going to do is take this march on this route right past the Second Amendment rally that's going to be happening a couple hours later at Gun Appreciation Day in the parking lot of Black Sheep Sporting Goods. So this is what we need to accomplish. This is what we need to start coming together on. We need to start getting involved with each other and supporting one another. For example, the guys from the Second Amendment and the gals from this Gun Appreciation Day, I would love to see patriots saying, I'm for the Second Amendment, okay? But we all share the same conservative values, all right? So I'm going to make a day of it. I'm going to go out for breakfast, and then I'm going to go down to Skate Plaza, and I'm going to march with the Right to Life group. And then I'm going to, after that's over with, I'm going to head up and support the Second Amendment rally for Gun Appreciation Day and listen to some speakers there. Okay, and then what I would like is for those supporters of Right to Life, after they get done going on the march, supporting Right to Life and bringing awareness to that issue, go get some hot chocolate, go grab a burger, and then go down to Black Sheep and support the Second Amendment. And if there's something else going on that supports the homeschooling, that supports the agenda, the fight against Agenda 21, we need to be backing each other on this. We need to be sharing information. And one thing that I offered at this Patriot Coalition meeting was for you guys, if you got an event, email it in to us. We'll post it. We'll spread the word. We'll mention it on the air. If we're, for some reason, postponing a podcast, we'll post it up on the website. We get thousands and thousands of hits, and we want to spread the word. We want you guys sharing information. We want the people that are supportive of Oath Keepers, and then the group over here that supports the Second Amendment, the group over there that supports Right to Life, this group over here that supports the homeschooling networks, to show up and support the John Birch guys who are fighting Agenda 21, because this affects all of us. We've got to band together, because that way at the next Agenda 21 meeting, instead of 200 people showing up, now they've got 600. And at the Second Amendment rally, when they're going to have 250 people there, now they have 800 people showing there. We've got to start backing each other up, and we've got to start meeting on a regular basis. And this Patriot Coalition meeting, that was a success, and it's just the beginning, but it takes leaders to put this together. If you have a calling, if you want to apply yourself somewhere, don't just grumble about the problems. Look at the problems, identify them, and say, how can I fix it? If it means that much to you, fix it. Get involved. Stop complaining and back up other patriots that are also putting it all out there on the line and putting the time into it. And it doesn't take a lot of time. Some of you are retired. You got a lot of time on your hands. You can do more. Some of you are running businesses or multiple businesses and families, and things are a little bit tighter. But help where you can, when you can, and get involved. It's too daunting of a task to keep track of everything that's out there. That's going on that you could possibly support. You could miss it and not even realize that there's something going on that you could support. If you're willing to, you just don't even know about it. So this is a good way to know about it. You can send in your events and things into Radio Free Redoubt. You can start getting involved in Patriot Coalitions where you are. And this is what you need to do. If you are not involved in some type of group, whether it's John Birch Society, whether it's Oath Keepers, whether it's the Tea Party movement, whether it's a home group coalition, get involved in something. Make that your core platform that you can be involved in. Pray about it. Think about it. Where's your heart at? What are you drawn to? What's the Lord placed on your heart that just really drives you and say, this is something, this is my hot button right here. Great. Get on board with it. And then start reaching out to some of these other groups and start building these patriot coalitions and meeting regularly, coalitions of prepper organizations, Agenda 21 and John Birch Society, Ron Paul supporters, Tea Party movements, Oath Keepers. Now, if you don't know how to do it, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be working with the leadership who have put this patriot coalition together. This is what's going to make us stronger and a formidable opponent to the people on the left. This is what's going to make the numbers increase from a few hundred letters to your representative to a few thousand, because you're aware of each other's agendas. And you're all on the same agendas, preserving Americanism, but you have your micro mission that supports that, but we're not working together. And this is how it needs to be done. They are doing it. Those guys over there in Kootenai County, Bonner County, the panhandle of North Idaho, these guys are coalescing and becoming stronger and more effective. And it's only the beginning. This is going to continue to grow. So if you are in Casper, Wyoming, if you're in Bozeman, Montana, if you are in... Oh, by the way, speaking of that, there is a Right to Life march in Bozeman. There's one in Moscow, the meeting at 1 at Logos Christian School. There is in Sandpoint, Pro-Life is sponsoring a one-hour silent prayer vigil on the main street of Sandpoint from 2 until 3. So there's a lot of these things going on. You need to start sharing this information. But anyway, if you're in Bozeman, if you're in Great Falls, if you're wherever you are, we want to try to duplicate these Patriot Coalition meetings so that you guys can start sharing information, so the preppers can meet, so the ham operators can share their knowledge. I can really see where this could grow into, and I can see it as a really viable project for Radio Free Redoubt to be right in the middle of, because – like John Mackey is doing with Oath Keepers, and there's just so many names. I couldn't even list them all. But the people that are involved there, I'm going to be working with them so we can duplicate exactly what they're doing and package that up to make it easy for other Patriot groups across the American Redoubt and across America to do exactly what these Patriots are doing right here. They're not talking about it. They're not complaining about it. They're doing something about it. And the way they're doing is going to be, it's the only way that we're going to be able to affect real change and preserve Americanism. I wholly believe that. So we're going to talk more about that in the future. If you got those kind of events coming along, let's back each other up. If there's an Agenda 21 meeting, they need maximum turnout. Okay, but if you're in a homeschooling network and you're not even aware of the Agenda 21, or you're not really even know who anybody who's involved in it, but you believe in it, you support it, you just don't even know what's going on, let's start sharing information with each other and start backing each other up. Let's build these numbers up and be effective. All right, I got to let you guys go. I hate it. I know, but I got to run. I think I gave you all enough to chew on for the next couple of weeks. And remember, we won't be broadcasting next Sunday on January 20th. But that's no excuse for you not to be taking action. Get involved. Get informed. Remember, we believe in self-sufficiency. We're preppers ourselves. But America wasn't founded by preppers. It was founded by patriots willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Many of them gave all three. And Americanism will only be preserved by today's patriots who are willing to commit on that same level. Now, for our Catholic brothers and sisters, don't forget to check out the American Redoubt's Charles Carroll Society website. Charles Carroll, of course, was the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence. And the patriots over there at the Charles Carroll Society are active. They have a podcast that they do also, and it's pretty good, so check it out. And I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, and you're willing to fight for Americanism, I'll fight right alongside you anytime. If you'd like, stick around for another episode of Cloak and Dagger, which will be airing here in just a few moments. It's an old-time radio classic tale of the OSS behind enemy lines and the fight against the Axis powers during World War II. Lots of fun and adventure. Then right after that, we'll be re-airing the show you just got done listening to, in case you missed any of it. And also, don't forget, you can get the 20 most recently uploaded podcasts at iTunes and all of our previous podcasts at www.radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. And you can download those from there as well. For those of you who like to listen to the shows at your leisure and when you're on the go, which a lot of you do. The bulk of you, I know, listen to the podcast later on during the week. So this concludes another episode of Radio Free Redoubt, much longer than usual. But it was great being with you guys again, and just may the Lord richly bless you, strengthen you, encourage you, and have his hand of protection over you and your families, your businesses, your homes as you go out this week. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.